Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to gore, sexual assault, sexual content, animal cruelty, human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
All right, I admit it. The bridge collapsed. I made one mistake. Two mistakes. Okay, 15 mistakes. I'm Kelly.
Oh, Mom, you've always been my heroine. And for my birthday, I'm Andy.
Y'all stick around for some of my Tree Gator gumbo. I'm Adam.
Well, of course there's no sex trafficking here. You know why? Because I'm here. I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Hey, guys, guess what?
What?
We have been doing this for a year now.
What?
Are you kidding me?
I know, right? No, this is our one-year anniversary episode, so I thought we could do another What About episode.
I thought we were going to do another episode on Christopher Columbus.
Yep. Guys, once we start the year over, we're just going to rerun. We're in syndication now.
Yay. Easy
Practice
street.
Makes perfect, so... So yeah, we're just going to catch up on some of the latest headlines, keeping you abreast of horrible things, because it's fun to say the word abreast. No quiz today, because we're just going to be talking about some stories.
I got a quiz for you.
Oh, do you?
How fun is it to say the word abreast?
Really, really?
Sean wins.
Who are you people? What am I doing here?
All right, so shout out to the YouTube channel SciShow for our first What About. This is a bridge disaster and train disaster combination. Yeah.
Slash fic.
I thought this was a pretty great story. So in 1871, construction began on the Tay Bridge in Scotland. It took 6 years to finish, but after it was done, it was an impressive railroad bridge. So impressive, in fact, that after Queen Victoria rode it in 1878, she knighted the bridge engineer, Thomas Booch.
Wow.
Is that how you get knighted? I could build a bridge.
Yeah, you get knighted for all kinds of weird stuff.
You don't know that I couldn't.
I thought she was going to knight the bridge.
Sir Bridge of Bridge.
Sir Bridgington.
So unfortunately, the next year, during a violent windstorm, the bridge collapsed with a train on it, and none of the train's 75 passengers survived. Since the bridge was only 2 years old at this point, it seemed odd that it would collapse, even if it was a big storm.
But it was still under warranty.
Yeah, hopefully. So an investigation took place, and basically, the bridge was so poorly constructed that they couldn't tell which fatal flaw was responsible for the collapse.
Did they take away the knighthood?
Well, let me get to that. So the bases of the stanchions were poorly formed and crumbling. The columns of the bridge varied in thickness and subsequently strength. Lord. Some of the nuts and bolts were basically just glued on for show.
This one's just gum and tape.
And some of the supporting girders were found to have been falling out before the accident even happened.
Hey guys, I put in this art installation that looks like a bridge, but please do not use it.
So amazingly, once the investigators found all these problems, they basically said, so that's what happened. Well, I'm satisfied. And as far as I could tell, the worst fallout that happened was that Booch's next bridge design was quietly turned down. But...
We're going in another direction.
He was still a knight, and no charges were ever laid against him. Everyone just seemed okay with it.
Doesn't Sir Booches sound like a cat?
Come here, Booches. Come here, Booches.
Was he given points for trying at that point? Like, well, he put in a good effort.
There were so many flaws. The flaws were holding themselves together.
Yeah.
Somebody fixed one thing, and the whole thing fell apart.
I wonder if it was a case of, like, saving face, like... You don't want the queen to be like, you know what? I was wrong. This was a bad bridge.
Now I need somebody to look up if there's ever been a de-knighting.
Yeah. I mean, it can happen, but I'm not sure.
It'd have to be the anti-queen.
I think they just behead you at that point.
Oh, man.
And then you're still a knight, but you're dead.
It would have to be Queen Aorative.
All right, who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
For the What About on our Rockstars episode.
Uh-huh.
I had a request from Reddit on an account that's now deleted, so who knows? I'm still listening. About Sid Vicious, who I did not really get into.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about Sid Vicious, so I was interested to learn about this.
Well, a sad life.
With a name like Sid Vicious, though.
Sid Vicious seems to be the epitome of a rock star. Addicted to drugs, violent. That's it.
Screams real loud. Some musical ability? Questionable. Oh,
no, musical ability actually is none.
Oh, really?
He never really learned how to play the bass that he was playing.
That's the most punk thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's pretty metal.
Lemmy of Motorhead attempted to teach him, but he was like, no, this is not good. You know, Lemmy of Motorhead, that guy was drunk 24/7. And then the guitarist put a bunch of tape on the frets of the guitar to say, hey, here's where you're supposed to be playing notes. And then he gave up on that.
Yeah.
So I don't know who does the bass tracks for Sex Pistols, but...
Maybe it has no bass.
Oh, according to the Steve Jones, the guitarist, he's only on one song.
Huh.
Wow. Jeez.
In the Sex
so
Pistols
he was more of a mascot for the Sex Pistols.
Yeah, we just gave him a bass with no strings on it.
Look at him go.
It's like giving your little brother the controller that isn't plugged in.
Yeah.
In 1977, the Sex Pistols got a deal with A&M, which is a label, that was gone in less than a week.
Okay.
Because of Sid Vicious. They had a press ceremony right outside of Buckingham Palace, so the Queen might have been there. Who knows? Directly afterwards, Sid Vicious just proceeded to get either high or drunk and destroy the managing director's office and vomited all over the entire office building.
That took some stamina.
Yeah. It's like, no, that's how he says thank you.
And 6 days later, the contract was void.
Well, it was in their contract to not throw up on everything.
Good loophole, especially with
this is our way out.
Sid Vicious didn't particularly like music journalists.
Yeah, well, if you can't play a musical instrument, I wouldn't like him either.
There was at one point a music journalist named Nick Kent, who wrote for the New Musical Express, who wrote poorly about the Sex Pistols for a very long time. And when he finally met Sid Vicious beat him with a bike chain.
That's a fine how do you do.
You think he just always had a bike chain?
He said it didn't hurt that much, and he never bothered to get stitches.
Huh.
I wonder if it was like an actual interview, and they like walked into a room, and they sat down together, and he set up his mic and took out his notebook. He's like, so, how are you? And he just pulled out the chain.
Because Sid Vicious could not properly play his bass guitar, oftentimes he would use it to hit people in the audience who were misbehaving,
also
according
pretty
to
punk.
Him. There was especially one night where a man was like heckling Sid Vicious for not being able to play bass guitar. And fortunately, Sid Vicious was sufficiently high on heroin that he missed the man entirely and broke the guitar on the ground, shattered a tile on the floor.
Man,
but Sid was aiming for his head. And the rest of the night, they just played without a bassist.
Thank goodness heroin was there.
Just like every other night.
Sid Vicious loves to strangle cats.
What?
What? Is this a cat's follow-up, too?
I suppose right now this is a cat's follow-up. At one point, he got violent with his mother, and he was evicted from his house, and he went to go live in the streets with one of his friends. The very first cat they came across, Sid Vicious tied his belt around his neck and strangled the cat to death.
Jeez.
Man.
You notice how we all reacted much more violently to him killing a cat than him trying to kill an audience member?
Well, he did kill an audience member.
But seriously... What they're saying here is if Sid Vicious was not being paid attention to, he would either cut himself, or if there was a cat nearby, he'd kill the cat.
Boy.
So aren't two great go-tos.
Reach for a razor or a cat, whichever he came in contact with first.
Just going
to
stick my hand out.
Needed a smartphone. Yeah. You know, teach him to play some, you know, Angry Birds.
Yeah, kill the cat app.
Very Angry Birds. This boy's mother was not great. It doesn't say which birthday it was. One of his birthdays, his mother gave him... heroin.
Probably not great for any birthday.
Well, she knew what he liked. Yeah. That means she's paying attention.
All of his bandmates said that they were horrified.
Yeah.
And Sid Vicious was like, no, she's razzing me. This helps me relax.
Thanks, Mom.
Sid Vicious once defecated in a groupie's mouth while her boyfriend watched.
If that's what they wanted, I guess.
So a Vietnam vet went up to Sid Vicious and said, I want you to have sex with my girlfriend while I watch. That's a fetish, I guess.
Yeah, but that he misheard that very severely.
It was very loud in there.
The Vietnam vet named Bob Gruen also says he was horrified when his girlfriend was just ready for poo.
Who's really to blame here?
That is a tough act to follow.
They did not end up together.
It didn't work out between them.
Because she died of dysentery.
On the Oregon Trail.
So one morning, Sid Vicious woke up and his longtime girlfriend, Nancy Spungen, was dead. It appeared she crawled out of her blood-soaked bed, which he was sleeping in, into a bathtub where she collapsed. Oh, into the bathroom, sorry. Where she collapsed on the floor and just died from a single knife wound to the abdomen.
Huh.
Man.
He followed the trail of blood to her and then wandered the hotel very high saying, I killed her. I can't live without her. She must have fallen on a knife.
Happens all the time.
That seems like a self-contradictory statement there. Unless he was holding the knife at the time.
She wanted to do a trust fall, but I heard thrust fall.
According to witnesses, there were multiple drug dealers going in and out of that hotel room all night.
Yeah.
So there's fingerprints on everything.
Yeah.
Sid Vicious is blamed for the death, but...
That makes sense.
It seems like both of them were so high that, like, they didn't know what was going on. $1,500 was stolen from the hotel room at one point.
Hmm.
Huh. It's not known whether or not she tried to stop the robbery and she got stabbed or... But Sid Vicious is blamed for that, which leads us to... His mom killed him.
Okay.
Several weeks later.
Wow, really?
Well, she admitted this to some band members, but denies it to other band members. She shot him up with such heroin that he overdosed and died.
Oh.
Was it his birthday?
No, it wasn't his birthday.
It was Christmas.
She said, Sid is not going to like prison.
Oh, well.
But he does like heroin.
A mother's love.
Yep, she injected him with a bunch of heroin and let him die before he went to jail.
Man.
That's crazy.
That was a lot more to that than I thought.
I'm not into the Sex Pistols. I'm into punk, but I've never really looked into Sex Pistols.
Is it because they don't have a bassist?
That's wild.
Yeah, seriously. All right, well, this... can't really stack up to that. But In our Beatles episode, we talked about the Possus Favieri beetle that mind controls ants to take it into their nest and let it feast on eggs for its entire life.
Yes.
We also talked about the bombardier beetle that sprays boiling poison out its butt. Recently, scientists discovered a beetle that does both.
What?
Oh, the Possus bombardier.
Why settle for one?
Yeah. So the blister beetle is so named because it can excrete a painful toxin that leaves blisters on people.
Oh.
And it turns out that its larvae grow up in beehives.
Huh.
So this is like the Possus beetle, but much, much creepier. So the baby beetles hatch together and they crawl up somewhere that bees are likely to see them. Once there, they kind of pile up in a heap that if you look at it just wrong, kind of looks like a bee.
If you're a bee with really bad eyesight.
Yeah. They also exude bee sex pheromones.
Oh, that helps.
Unsuspecting males then fly up and try to mate with this squirming pile of larvae. But much to his shock, the beetles swarm over the bee, forming a kind of living, squiggling vest.
Gotcha now.
Sometime later, when the male finally manages to get lucky, the beetles jump ship to the female, who carries them back to the nest.
Hmm.
Once inside, they adopt the local smells and proceed to gorge on bee eggs and honey until they're big enough to grow up into strong beetles. So they then stroll out of the hive like nothing happened and carry on with their tiny beetle lives.
Causing blisters on people.
Only if you fuck with them.
Yeah.
I've got an animal what about.
Yeah.
So this also overlaps with our amusement parks episode.
Oh.
As well as our birds episode.
Is it Fabio?
There's a French theme park that has come up with a novel way to deal with littering, which has been a real problem there. They've trained 6 rooks to bring the trash to a special receptacle, which rewards them with treats for their hard work.
That's super awesome.
I thought they were going to have hawks like attacking people that littered.
So this is working really well in the sense that the birds caught on real fast and are good at doing their little jobs. They pick up cigarette butts and things and put them neatly away.
Don't smoke in an amusement park. You're right next to everybody.
But they have to work under close supervision, not because they do anything wrong, but because the people are littering more to watch the rooks clean up.
God damn it!
Just stimulating that economy.
And it's sort of unfortunate because the hope initially was actually the opposite. They were like, we'll train these rooks to tidy up after people, and then people will be shamed and clean their own messes. And instead, people are throwing more stuff on the ground so they can watch the poor rooks work.
And the next step is that the rooks are actually going to start littering themselves so they can pick it up.
Like the Twilight Zone episode where it's all the evil things together makes man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we could nationalize this. This is... Crows are smart. Yeah. We can give them treats. Just there's a lot of mess.
Set up those one of those boxes every 100 yards across the country.
This highway sponsored by crows.
I have a what about, and Sean provided me this one. Thank you, Sean.
Sure.
It's a conspiracy theory that is inspiring vigilante justice.
Finally.
Yeah. There's nothing more dangerous than that.
This article is so long, but I'm going to give you the base. A reporter in Tucson, Arizona, named Kevin Adger, told all of his viewers that a veterans' rights activist named Lewis Arthur made a horrifying discovery, is that a bunker was being used as a stopover for child sex traffickers.
Oh, is this Pizzagate?
It's not.
Pizzagate? Oh, okay.
This is a different one. Go on.
He said he stumbled across a camp while canvassing the area for homeless vets, which he knew. And then he posted about it. The thing is it's not true.
Yeah.
He found a bunch of trash.
Sex offender trash.
He sent it to the Tucson police, and they said, no, this is just, what is this? It's trash. The next thing he said, I have a child's skull.
Yeah. So, no, sir, that's a tin can.
No, they had an actual skull. A medical examiner said, this is not... a child skull, this is an adult skull, and this is found miles away from where this homeless camp is.
Also, why do you have this?
Yeah, no kidding.
Did I mention this is a homeless camp? So the homeless, like, stay here.
Well, that's a good place to look for homeless, then.
This got out, and it kept on going and going, and people kept on coming in to be like, I'm going to stop the sex traffickers. And the skull became a corpse. The man found a corpse.
Yeah.
And the corpse became so fresh that it was dripping. None of this was true.
Oh, so the skull didn't actually become a corpse.
No. Like, this is
it's a magic skull.
And after that, people started posting up at this homeless camp with guns.
Yeah. Oh, God.
To shoot the non-existent sex offenders?
Well, probably to shoot whoever showed up.
Well, and people kept on finding bones. They're like, these are child bones. And they'd bring them to the police, and the police would be like, these are deer bones.
These bones are dear to me.
This is an old carrot.
This was 3 years ago. People are still posted up there. People still show up.
Crazy.
To stop sex traffickers.
I mean, are the homeless even still using this site anymore?
They are.
What?
They got such good guards.
The thing it's is, true. It's like, they're like, if I see a child come through here, I'm going to shoot him. And they're there with their AR-15s.
Why would they shoot the child?
It's either that or sell it into slavery.
It's better this way.
Like, they post up with these big guns and just watch the homeless be sad and homeless.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound
like
a very funny thing.
Which is a weird, awful parallel.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is sort of funny to think about people being so gung-ho about trying to stop non-existent sex offenders while standing around a camp full of people that legitimately need help.
Yeah. No kidding.
Get out of the way, homeless. I can't see if there's anybody that needs help here.
There's a quote from a woman from Colorado Springs, which is in Arizona.
Yeah.
Which the author says, wore peach lipstick and cowboy boots.
That's important.
I had been in an abused situation with my mother. It makes me want to be able to do something to those people. The homeless?
I mean, there's so much you can do if you're concerned about sex trafficking or sex offenders. There's so much you can do to, say, work at a woman's shelters, donate your time, donate your money. But
Or get a gun.
Or get a gun and,
go off into the wilderness.
Get a gun and watch the homeless suffer.
Oh, God.
Some of those homeless might be sex traffickers. Just take a pot shot or two.
Let them know you mean business.
People make me sad.
Sometimes. All right, so in a what about for semi-trucks? As I mentioned in that episode, semi-truck accidents happen pretty much all the time, but this was a particularly interesting one. On September 17th of 2018, so just a few days ago now, Thomas Bowler was traveling through Utah on I-70 when, for as of yet unknown reasons, he crashed through a concrete barrier. Oof. Unfortunately for Mr. Bowler, he was currently on a bridge over Eagle Canyon and proceeded to plunge 200 feet or 60 meters to the bottom.
Oh, goodness.
Holy crap.
Needless to say, he very much died.
Well, yeah.
Like more than some people.
But man, if you're going to just nod off, it's hard to imagine a worse place to do it.
I don't imagine there's much time for screaming or realization if you've fallen asleep and then you're dead.
Yeah.
I've been wondering on the semi-truck subject, is there any other state other than Nevada where there are signs for truckers that are written in trucker?
I don't know.
Like, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
If you go up the pass, there's signs on the path along the way that say letter drift.
Yeah.
Like let ER. Letter. Yeah, letter drift.
But that's once you pass into California, I thought.
Is it on the California side?
I thought it was on the California. It could be on both sides.
It could be on both. It could just be the good people of Tahoe.
I tell you what, California and Nevada are basically the same state at this point.
I think I disagree with that.
I was going to say, I think the Californians and the Nevadans are both going to fight you on that one.
I'll fight you right now.
No, we're very similar.
Are we?
Yeah. Anyway, 200 feet.
Yeah. That's quite a drop. I had enough time to scream twice.
Ran out of breath the first time.
Oh, no kidding. You'd have a long time to think about what was coming. I have a what about invasive species.
Yeah.
So we talked about Florida and their snake problems and their lionfish problems.
Mm-hmm.
They also have problems.
Yeah.
And their people problems. They also have an iguana problem.
They do.
That doesn't sound like a problem. Iguanas are adorable.
The last time I visited my father-in-law, which was years ago, there was a family of iguanas living in the glades past his backyard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, they destroy plant life, but even more troublingly, they dig into the canal walls and make them erode so that the waterways sort of collapse.
They do it on purpose.
Well, you know iguanas. So bad-tempered. They've come up with the solution that we discussed for lionfish to deal with them. They're trying to promote iguana as good eating.
Is it?
Delicious.
I could see it being pretty good. They eat alligator down there.
Well, but alligator, I'm going to say alligator is good. It got Louisiana spices on it, so anything is good at that point.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you could well spice your iguana. It's not a
problem. Iguana's just small tree alligator.
Yes. You got them. Goddamn, dear iguana.
Tree gators.
Yeah, goddamn tree gator.
The Florida Wildlife Commission advises either shooting iguanas or spearing them in the head if you want to eat them. That's the humane way to kill them.
Spearing them.
Don't give them a chance to explain themselves.
Who in Florida is carrying spears?
The same people going after the lionfish, I think, because that's how you had to kill them. And if you're in the market or you want to go into business, it sounds like iguana meat sells for $59.99 a pound. So,
good
money. Holy
shit.
Man.
We'll just buy an iguana for $20 and
sell it in Florida.
I don't think you can get an iguana for $20.
I have no idea.
Well, I've got a pretty gruesome one here. In our skin episode, we covered what I thought were the worst skin conditions one could suffer from.
To add on, I actually saw a man with one of the skin conditions we saw the other day.
Oh, yeah? What was it?
He had the one where your skin keeps on multiplying, so it looks like sacks.
Oh, yeah? The bubble one?
Yeah, he had it all along his jaw.
Oh, man. Well, it turns out that I missed at least one. Poppy G, now 6 years old, suffers from a rare genetic condition called epidermolysis bullosa. That's a bit of a mouthful, so this disorder is also called having paper skin.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
I was told about this sort of thing when I went to observe at the Washoe County Jail.
Yeah. Yeah, you mentioned that guy that was the walking water balloon.
Mm-hmm.
So this disorder is very rare. So when she was born in London with no skin on her entire right leg, doctors were more than a little befuddled. They called a specialist, but in the meantime, they taped a morphine drip to her face, which Poffy proceeded to rip off, along with most of the skin on her face.
Oh, God.
Bad baby.
So she pulled through, though it was hard to be a baby with this condition. She had to skip crawling as the friction would tear her knees up. Now she starts every day by being slathered in creams and wrapped up in gauze until she looks like a mummy.
But she a baby.
She has to wear oversized glasses as the condition is on her eyes as well. And particulate matter like sand could tear her eyes to pieces.
Genetics.
She also has never progressed past baby food, as anything more firm could rip her throat apart. Poppy is very upbeat, though, and doesn't let her disorder slow her down any more than necessary. So it's pretty impressive, but man, she's just basically a walking paper doll.
Are you playing God at this point?
What are you talking about?
At any other point in time, this woman would have been dead, I guess, but...
Yeah,
so would Sean, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have not had glasses and lost my way in the woods.
Adam's gone. I took his glasses.
You know how he's prone to wandering off like that.
He does. Once you take his glasses, he just starts hands in front.
It's true. And I say jinkies a lot.
I have two whatabouts about zoos.
Oh, man.
Double zoo.
First, a zoo in Delhi is installing human cages in their tiger pens.
Is that where they keep their new food?
So this sounds like some sort of punishment for particularly bad tourists.
Yeah.
To the human cage.
You are the deli.
It's actually an attempt to prevent animal attacks. In 2014, a man was killed by the tigers because he fell into the tiger den, and as we discussed, he couldn't get back out.
Yeah.
So they're putting cages in the corner of the pen that people can run to and lock themselves in until they can be rescued.
Like stainless steel phone booths?
Yes.
I don't agree with that.
Why not?
If you fall in the tiger pen,
you deserve what's coming.
The tiger gets you.
So apparently they're posting instructions on how to use the human cages outside the pen so that if you do fall in, hopefully you've read ahead.
I was going to say, quick, read it out loud.
So here's the thing. I think if you're stupid enough to fall into the tiger cage, you haven't read the tiger cage, like the human cage instructions.
Yeah, the people that are liable to fall into the tiger pit are probably not the ones that read the instructions.
How complicated could it be?
Yeah, it's got to be pretty user-friendly, right?
Walk in, slam door.
Turn lock.
It's got a big door that says pull, and they're just jammed up against it as the tiger runs at them.
No!
They're planning to install these cages in some of their other large predator pens, like the bears as well. And maybe, if it goes well, our panda friend Gugu will have a new installation in his pen.
He can have a pet.
If nature didn't want me to hug bears, they shouldn't have made them so adorable.
All right, and in other zoo news, this one's a little sad.
No.
This year, there was a violent storm in Colorado. The sort of storm you hear the exaggeration, there was hail the size of softballs. But considering 14 people were injured and 400 cars were destroyed, it was hail the size of softballs.
Wow.
And sadly, two zoo animals were killed.
Oh, man. Mm. I guess they got nowhere to go.
Yeah. They lost a duck and a vulture.
Oh.
Those are pretty small targets. I was thinking like a giraffe or something.
Well, there is a cell phone video of this that's pretty intense, and it shows the grizzlies. And like you think a bear, of all things, really thick skin, big old pelt, and they are freaking out and just like trying to find cover. And sort of like the Seattle Zoo, there's a water feature and you can see down into the water and you can see the hail hitting the water and the splashes are going like halfway up the tank. Like this was crazy. An intense storm.
Yeah, man.
Which makes me wonder if, you know, two animals in the zoo died, how many animals did they lose outside the zoo?
Yeah.
Pigeons by the million.
Maybe we should do a hail episode.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad.
So I've got a two-parter as well. This one is a pair of whatabouts for sewers. first, a new Fatberg was discovered in America.
I knew we could keep up with those damn Brits.
Well, not yeah. quite. It's our first try, so it's not quite up to snuff. But
sort of like
is
our
it
country.
Our first try.
This one was in Macomb County in Michigan, and while it's not as large as the one in London, it was still pretty substantial. It was 100 feet or 30 meters long and weighed 19 tons or 17,000 kilograms.
Wow.
Apparently, after analyzing the Fatberg, it was mostly food and cooking fat, but those would have broken up on their own given time. The glue holding the whole thing together was baby wipes.
I was going to say rubbers.
So officials are urging residents not to flush baby wipes down the toilet. So
just you're not supposed to anyway.
Yeah, just thought it'd be a little PSA to everybody out there. Don't flush baby wipes.
Yeah, I'll take that a little bit further. Just about anything but toilet paper that says it's flushable, from what I've heard, shouldn't be flushed. That yeah. just means that the toilet will consume it. It yes. doesn't mean that the sewers know how to handle it.
That also depends on your city sewers, but
yeah.
Yeah.
And for our second what about, we're revisiting babies in drains.
Oh, no.
I don't remember that episode.
Really?
Sean just put his baby in a drain.
Now, I thought it was pretty unique to find one story about a baby being flushed down the toilet, but maybe it wasn't as unique as I thought. On August 17th of 2018, in, give me a minute here, Valasaravakkam Municipality in the Chennai district of the state of Tamil Nadu, India, whew,
that's probably correct.
You got it.
A woman named Gita was told by the milkman that he thought he heard a kitten crying in a drain. When Gita investigated, she found a small baby boy with his umbilical cord tied around his neck.
Oh. Ooh.
The baby pulled through and was given the name Suthanthiram, which means freedom. Authorities who investigated believed it was a deliberate attempt at filicide, as the umbilical cord seemed deliberately tied around the neck in an attempt to strangle him, and he was yeah. also shoved into a hard-to-see-and-reach corner of the drain.
Oh, somebody went down, they didn't flush him, they just went and shoved him down there.
Right, yeah. So India, it seems, is much less forgiving of this sort of thing than China was, and they are seeking any information that could lead to an arrest. And on our site, we're linked to the article about this story, and it has several pictures. The pictures of the baby mostly look like a baby, but any adult in any of the pictures seems to have an expression on their face that says, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
Well, good for the kid being such a trooper.
Yeah, he's pulling through.
It's going to be quite a story later.
As a person who is going into education, I have to take early childhood education classes.
Yeah.
And I had to just look the other day at the regulations for going into like a preschool, if you want to do a preschool.
Yeah.
The regulations for discipline caught me by surprise.
Oh, yeah?
Two of them stood out. You cannot threaten a child with punishment by a deity.
You will be smoten.
And you cannot have other children punish the current child.
All right, kids. I got your oranges in your socks.
What kind of sick fuck?
Oh, that first one seems much too likely. I can think yeah. of...
Well, the first one seems likely, but the other one is like, okay, it's time for Lord of the Flies around here.
Well, if you're not allowed to lay on hands, I guess. Oh, God.
So help me, little Johnny. Zeus will smite you.
Thor is coming.
They're still going to do it, though. It's going to be, you know... Santa's watching.
Well, then we're going to have a court case about whether Santa's a god.
Kelly, if you break one of those regulations, there's a fine of up to $100.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Up to.
I'd pay $100 to invoke the name of Jupiter.
Osiris is coming, children.
Finish your orange slices.
All right. And for our final what about, I was recently listening to an excellent podcast called Undiscovered, and they just started their second season, so it's a good time to check them out. Anyway, they did an episode on a scientist named Gerda Keller, and the story just smacked of unappreciated genius. So I recommend checking out the episode to get the whole story, but here it is in short. Everybody knows that a big old meteor killed the dinosaurs. What you may not know is why you know this. You know this because of a guy named Luis Alvarez, a Nobel laureate who worked on the Manhattan Project, and his son, Walter Alvarez.
Sounds like a smart guy.
They are smart guys, and they worked together to track down the source. Basically, they found a layer of iridium all around the world, and iridium is pretty rare, so a consistent layer of it all around the planet was odd. So him and his son figured a meteor rich in iridium hit the Earth, blacked out the skies, and everything died. But when Dr. Keller looked into it, she saw that things not only died slowly over hundreds of years instead of everything in an instant from a meteor strike, but that the die-off started before the meteor ever hit. So Dr. Keller went to an event and presented her findings. Not in a mean-spirited way, just in a there's-a-hole-in-this-logic sort of way.
I tell you what, archaeologists are very mean-spirited.
Yeah. So after her presentation, people lined up to tell her how dumb she was. So it didn't help that everybody loved Alvarez, and he died that year. So ooh, it's
sacred
cow. How convenient.
How dare you shit on his memory?
A few years later, the big meteorite impact site was found in the Gulf of Mexico, which was case closed as far as young Alvarez was concerned. So Dr. Keller called up Alvarez and said, "Hey, I guess you're right. Congratulations. But just in case, can I have the coordinates so I can go check myself?" He said, "No."
Go find your own science.
So Dr. Keller shrugs and just heads to the general area and wanders around until some friendly locals point her into the right spot. She gets a sample, tests it, and thinks that the meteor hit 200,000 years before the mass extinction happened.
Wow.
Y'all.
That's a big difference.
Yeah. She went to another symposium, presented her data, and once again got booed off the stage.
Well, and this is a constant problem for women scientists.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And also, like I said, archaeologists hate each other.
Yeah. It's pretty ornery in those symposiums. So despite this, Dr. Keller just dug in her heels and stuck to her guns. Much later, a new theory surfaced around the globe. Multiple volcanoes erupted for hundreds of years, which would kill the dinosaurs more slowly and could coat the world in iridium. As the tides have shifted away from meteors, the angry seas have left behind a quietly smug Dr. Keller, who now is receiving invites to conferences on the mass extinction event.
Oh, so she's still alive?
She's still alive.
Good. This is one of the unappreciated geniuses that actually got to see their shit come to fruition.
Yep. The eventually appreciated geniuses.
Mm-hmm. And there's still a bunch of people out there that think she's a crackpot, but she's just telling like it is.
I learned about this from long ago from our friend Dave. Big archaeologist fan, and he's the one who turned me on to all of the feuds between archaeologists who are like, "Fuck you, I found another skull, asshole."
All right, well, that's about all that I had. Anything else anybody wanted to talk about?
I think I'm good.
Yeah. I thought we could take a moment and do maybe some podcast recommendations if anybody wants to say what they like to listen to.
I've got a few.
I'm going to go for My Brother, Me. It's already popular enough, but...
They don't need your help.
These guys do so much content. Like, there's offshoots of that podcast. It's the McElroy brothers, Justin, Travis, and Griffin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I enjoy Sawbones.
Yeah, Sawbones was what I started listening to before My Brother, and Me.
That's what Adam got me turned on to, and then I tried to listen to Bim Bam, and I said, I don't really like this. And then I started up again. I was like, okay, well, yeah, this is exactly our humor.
But they have like a whole podcasting dynasty at this point.
Yeah.
It does seem that they do.
But yeah, Mabim Bam. And the other one I listen to religiously is Spontaneation with Paul F. Tompkins.
Hmm.
It's a improv podcast where he brings on a guest. They interview them. And then he has improvisers that riff on that.
Yeah.
And I just love Paul F. Tompkins. So.
What you got there, Adam?
One of the ones I've gotten into recently is Cabinet of Curiosities.
Okay.
If you've ever heard of the podcast Lore, it's kind of a spinoff of that one. I believe it's all made, produced, written by Aaron Mankey. Mm-hmm. And like Lore is more like...
it's a long form podcast.
Well, it's a longer podcast. They're a little bit more cohesive, whereas the Cabinet of Curiosities are like short little tidbits he finds researching the other podcasts that don't really fit in. So it's a lot of like interesting bits of interesting characters, that kind of thing.
If you'd like to get a feel for Aaron Menke's podcast on Amazon Prime, Lore is a series that they did six episodes of.
Well, they're going to do another season probably with this Halloween.
I think he wrote a book too, which I...
He's got at least two, I think.
All right, I read one and I enjoyed it.
Well, I feel a little bad because I feel like my podcast listening habits make me kind of basic here. Like 90% of the podcasts on my listening list are NPR or NPR affiliated.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Pumpkin Spice of podcasts.
I'm not sure they need me. But some of my favorites other than that are, if you like actual play podcasts, I think Friends at the Table is the best actual play podcast out there.
I've heard of that one. I've heard good things about it.
It's very thoughtful and it's very good spirited, I guess is what I want to say. And I would listen. I wouldn't start with the first season when they were still sort of getting to know each other. Well, they knew each other, but getting to know the system and stuff. I'd start with the second or the third season. But I think they're great. I also think they're just good people. They're one of the few people I support on Patreon. So, and then I've been a Vlogbrothers fan from way back.
The Greens.
Yeah. Dear Hank and John is always a good, amusing listen. And it's sort of a, they call it a comedy podcast about death, but it's mostly people write in with questions and they give questionable advice in return. But the Green Brothers are great.
Oh, let's see. What do I listen to? I wish I had more podcasts to recommend like this one, but I haven't found a whole lot. There's all of Caustic Soda, if you somehow manage to find us without listening to Caustic Soda. There's This Podcast Will Kill You is really good. Pair of Ladies Talk About Horrible Diseases is pretty great. Science Versus is great.
Sawbones, as mentioned, is one of these sorts of things, but it talks about really old-timey people.
Yep, Sawbones is good. Dollop's good if you're into old-timey stories. Undiscovered, which we talked about today, is good. Yeah, those are all solid podcasts. So, all right. Well, I think that's all we've got for this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Bye!
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
So for a follow-up on our rock stars,
we had
a request from Reddit.
Wait. Sorry, we're not doing follow-ups.
Oh, we're doing whatabouts.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I've got an animal follow-up.
Oh, yeah? You got an animal what?
I've got an animal whatabout.
Yeah.
It's even my term. I have a follow-up on invasive.
You have a what?
I have it right here in big letters. What about? It's not copyright, though.
No, I know.
TM.
But I haven't corrected you guys every time.
Okay.